Welcome to your weekly astrological weather. This is your place to get practical guidance for not only surviving, but thriving with the cosmic tides. Hello, everybody, and welcome to your weekly astrological weather. I am so happy to be here with all of you. Thank you so much for tuning in, for making space in your schedule to be here, either live or listening to the recording. We're super grateful. And I'm very happy to be here with Jen Zart, PhD. Jen is a complete powerhouse. She is amazing. Any of you who have had the pleasure of learning from her or listening to different talks or hearing her on the weekly weather in the past, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So we are in for a very pleasant treat here. She's also our current inner circle astrologer. And I know that we just came off the full moon broadcast for the inner circle. And Jen is like still beaming about the experience with that full moon broadcast. So Jen, welcome very, very much to the weekly weather.
Thank you, Amanda. It's wonderful to be back. Really loved being inside the IC for that full moon transmission because it was moon conjunct Neptune and everybody just took this immense deep dive into the astrology together. And I even got a little bit like professorial and shared some Nietzsche. And there was some really cool moments there that I think that it makes it a really special place to be sharing with all the people who are in the IC. So I'm really grateful to be the current facilitator for learning this month. And I'm also happy to be here talking to you about what's coming up this week.
All right. Lucky us. Two doses of Jen. All right. Before we dive in, I normally read a positive review on the podcast. But this week, I'm going to read a review that is not so positive because I feel like we have a solution we can offer. So this review came in after Joe G's week. So if you remember on Joe G's week, we did an electional selection of dates and he chose a day for us to do a special kind of like a ritual or a ceremony that was in alignment with the astrology. But we got a review that came in from Maz and it says, why? Electional astrology for the week and you posted on Thursday. You may want to be more organized the next time you post a time sensitive episode. So this came in and I was like, ooh, wow. First of all, thank you, because what this shows me is that you actually get so much value out of the content that to miss a few days, you really felt it. I also just wanted to use this opportunity to encourage you to sign up for our Cosmic Insider, because that is the one thing we can control. And we've made a very big effort to make sure that you get the Cosmic Insider now at the beginning of the week so that you know all the episodes and all the content that is available to you. We can't always control when you get notifications on YouTube or when you get notifications on iTunes. So the Capricorn part of me was like, oh my gosh, we're doing so much to make sure that we're organized and that we are honoring that you receive time-sensitive information in a time-sensitive way. So all that to say, make sure you're signed up for our Cosmic Insider. And that's at astrologyhub.com/insider. Again, that's astrologyhub.com/insider. It's totally free. And just hoping that we can minimize that frustration in the future. Okay, Jen. So we have this big week ahead. I know we're covering the week of September 12th through the 18th. Let's start off with a big picture theme and anything, any sort of like tendrils you want to pick up from last week.
So this theme, I think, has a lot to do with all of this entire month, there's been a kind of looking into things that are at the core of our being. And this week is where we can play with the illusion of what the full moon conjunct Neptune offered. There's some reality checks this week as well. And so I like to come up with this metaphor of like editing the movie of our life, being able to look and see what's possible and also make an extended director's cut. Make a short reel, figure out where we can intervene in the stories that we want to live And also imagine ourselves living those stories. And we're going to see later this week, there's a reason why I'm bringing this up specifically. But Neptune plays a bigger role in this month than you might expect. And I think that when we get into what Neptune signifies, when we embrace its filmic quality of illusion and the idea that it takes a group of people to make a film, it takes a lot of people behind the scenes to do sound editing and video editing and tinting of the tone. And yet there is a director and there's also a vision of what's trying to be transmitted. So it brings in this question of authorship that I think plays into a lot of the Libra Aries energy that's also happening in the astrology of the moment. But it's interesting that you should kick off with a critique, because this Monday we have a Sun Saturn quincunx, which is when the two planets are not able to see each other by sign, according to the traditional scheme. They're what's called aversion. So Saturn's over here doing its own thing in Aquarius. The Sun is in Virgo, but there is a contact there. And so when we have this kind of, it's like a grind or some kind of like course correction or just kind of this, you can almost hear the sound of it, right? Like some kind of metallic like sound. And the Moon is in Aries as well, giving us that sense of wanting to go, go, go and like nip something in the bud and get that kind of fire under the belly. And then this Monday timing really is about like, okay, you know what? Like, let's focus on that Saturn and think about, we have to like do a course correction or, you know, figure out what our responsibilities are and simply act. Let that Aries moon ride the action. And then by the evening time, we're going to get a pretty intense conjunction of that moon with Eris. So every time the moon's in Aries right now, the very slow, slow outer planet Eris, which represents discord or sort of like intensity of sort of chaotic moments, that is going to give a sort of like, whoa, like Monday is kind of a doozy on that level. There's just a lot of like energy happening there.
Mm. Okay, Jen. So you just said a lot.
And I did. I just went into Monday because I was like, I got to get to Monday.
It's great. You covered the overarching theme. And I love this idea of the film. What'd you say? Filmic?
It's like editing the film, right? Like you can film the film, but that's not the same thing as editing what you actually filmed, right?
It's actually really quite different, and it requires different parts of our brain to do, like the creation part is one thing, but then the editing part is where we can come in with that discernment and say, you know, did this really work? Do we really want this here? How could the storyline flow different? And so in terms of our life, I can really see what you're saying by, okay, here's the movie of my life. Here are the different characters and roles that are being played. Here's the role I'm playing. Is this a storyline that I want to be creating right now? Is this the impression of my life that I want to be conveying? And I think it's a really interesting sort of step back and review of our life and where we're at right now.
Well, and when you say review and discernment, I would actually add the word imagination, because mm-hmm. when you start to make those discerning analyses of what do we have on film, you do what one of my favorite Virgos alive, an astrologer whose name is Karen Hawkwood, she says gap spotting happens when you begin to apply this Virgoan analysis, because you start to see what's missing. And Neptune is about that longing and missing, right? And so we're still kind of at the sort of... this week is the tailing, like sort of the trailing tail of that moon Neptune conjunction during the full moon. And so it really highlights what Neptune does for us. And so this longing of something we could be having, something we could be living, a storyline we haven't quite got footage of yet that we need to make plans to do. But right now there's so many planets retrograde or having just turned retrograde that it's like not quite time to do that yet. So we are still in this review phase of what do we have? How do we cut that together? And also what's missing so that when it's time to act, we know what our plan can be for the next shot list.
How about the word reimagining?
Yes, there you go.
Reimagining.
Yes.
Reimagining the movie that we're creating with our own life.
That is a perfect expression, I think, of how the Mercury retrograde plays into this.
Mm. Yeah. Okay, very nice. So we have Monday. You're saying that This is a lot of energy here today.
Yeah.
Grinding,
yeah.
Course correction, moon in Aries with the fire in our belly, thinking of big things like what are our responsibilities, what aren't our responsibilities. Anything else you want to add about Monday?
In the evening, the moon is going to square Pluto at the very end of Capricorn. And I think with Pluto, it's always an intensifier. So I know in the past, in past weeks, we've talked about being spiky or prickly. Like, I think that's something to pay attention to, because it could be like better to just be aware that there can be that intensity, and how you want to apply that, you know, is a question for each person to answer for themselves. But there is a chance for something to be pretty highlighted in a potentially not so comfortable way. So, you know, if that's the star weather, when it comes up, you can go, oh yeah, Aries moon is squaring Pluto and Capricorn. Everybody chill out, you know, kind of take like a perspective of like, all right, yes, this is intense, and breathe, like move through it. Tomorrow, the moon moves into Taurus. So that's a saving grace, right?
Yes. Jen, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
When we're working with this Neptune energy and this idea of illusion versus reality and our life as a film or our life as an actual thing, you know, how do you differentiate when you're in a situation, maybe with a person where your reality is very different from their reality, and what is the reality, you know, between the two of you? You know, what is illusion? What is actually truth, mm-hmm. with a capital T? You know, how do you navigate those waters?
Nice hook in with waters, Neptune being in Pisces, right? So I think that ultimately there is a social construction of truth, which is one reason why in our society at large, there's such tension in the air, because certain things come in and out of focus depending on one culture's construction of reality. And reality, as we agree upon it, is a social construction to some extent. There are hard and fast rules, but even at the level of the nuclear fission in the sun, we're learning that the core of the sun is cold and the surface is hotter than parts of the core. Like, I just learned that last night and I'm going, wait a minute. So the sun isn't just this super hot thing. It's actually got different levels of temperature inside of it. And as far as I understand, that's actually a relatively new idea, because the imagination was that the surface of the sun was the coolest part. And as you got into the core, it got hotter and hotter. So, I mean, even on these levels of like fundamental physical astrophysics, right, our truths are not necessarily still true. And so when you go back to two thinkers, one is Thomas Kuhn, talks about scientific paradigm shifts, where things are true until they're not. And another person named Karl Popper will talk about how you can't prove that something's true. You can only prove that it's false.
Mm.
So it's an interesting thing when you bring up that concept of truth. And so with Neptune, I like to think of it as the levels of focus, because Neptune, for me, my favorite metaphor for it is looking at the beautiful rainbow swirls on the surface of water. And then you shift your focus and you realize you're looking at a polluted puddle in a driveway.
Huh.
And it's like, they're both, yeah, Neptune, right? But which way are you looking at it? Are you going to do the environmental cleanup because you have compassion for all creatures in existence and you don't want pollution to be in the environment? Or are you going to be the artist who looks at those oil swirls on the surface going, I now have, you know, an amazing idea for the back of my next tarot deck. I'm going to paint that, you know, and like replicate it or take a photo of it. So, and if you remember when Neptune was being discovered, oil, perfume, and also certain kinds of plant substances that cause the human being to hallucinate, they were kind of rampant at that time. And so there's this idea of how do we actually change our focus when we're being anesthetized or when we're under the influence of some kind of psychotropic? And also this idea of the perfume creating access to memory through scent. That isn't logical, right? That's a very Neptunian concept as well. So beyond the filmic, I like the film metaphor because I tend to think in those terms and I love film. But you can even think with film itself as a thing. We have digital film now. We don't have the oils and chemicals it takes to develop film, right? And so there's a way, I mean, you could go down an entire rabbit hole with it, but that would be my shortest possible answer to that Neptune question.
I love that answer, because essentially what you're saying is that truth is what we focus on. Like, truth is a matter of our perception and awareness. And so it invites you to hold lightly to truth, because depending on your perception and depending on where you're focusing and depending on your vantage point, mm-hmm. it could shift like quite dramatically. So
yeah, and that's a speaking to perhaps being able to have multiple areas of focus or being able to shift your vantage point and in order to keep an open mind and embrace perhaps that multiple truths can be true and maybe not at the same time, but we can shift our stance and actually occupy both positions at the same time too. So Tuesday is actually, there's a lot of chill on Tuesday. Moon in Taurus is less active than Aries. Obviously, it's a fixed Earth sign. The moon loves being in Taurus. I always talk about eating when the moon is in Taurus, as you know. And I think it's really important to just kind of take it slow and just allow yourself to be like in a Taurian kind of stance and just, you know, ground yourself again. There was so much energy pushed out the day before. It's time to kind of reconsolidate and reconfigure. And it's Tuesday, right? Like the week has already started. So like, let's just put ourselves back in our roots and get into just kind of our own vibe and, you know, just like kind of recalibrate from a place of a rest. I always say restive, and that's actually the opposite word. So that's a very Mercury retrograde thing to say. restive actually means very active. So it's not that. It's resting or some kind of like pausing and harnessing that fixed Earth, even if that's not your noble modus, like understanding, like the moon is kind of telling us to chill, you know?
Love it. Permission.
Permission to chill. Yeah. Yeah, but see, the thing is, the next, and it's good to do that because on Wednesday, I hate to skip over Tuesday, but Taurus moon, not much else going on, you know, in terms of aspects that are worth like paying too much attention to. But on Wednesday, Saturn and Uranus are going to be within a degree of each other again by square. Now, this retrograde of Saturn into Uranus's little field is not going to perfect, right? It's not going to be a perfect aspect. So we're not going to get a contact like we did in 2021, but it is going to begin as we approach November. Or that timing from September 14th into November. This is a time where all of those things from 2021, when Saturn was square Uranus, are going to be so close. It's almost like they're just right under the surface. And we're kind of getting confronted once again with older structures that need to shift and attempts to make new structures in the face of the old structure not wanting to go away. And that's an underlying hum. But Wednesday is when we're first going to start to feel that again in a pretty acute way. Of just like, wow, I thought we had settled that last year. What's going on? Why is this coming back up? Does that make sense?
It does. And for people that weren't as clued into the astrology during 2021, can you give us a little taste of what that Saturn Uranus square brought up then and what it could be bringing up again this year?
Yeah. And this is the background transit of Wednesday. I have another overt transit that we always should pay attention to. But so in a direct example in my own life, I worked for the Mountain Astrologer magazine, which was run for many, many years by its founder, who sadly passed away in 2019. And in 2020, at the end of the year, it was purchased by the woman I work for now. And she's making changes to the magazine because Tem's gone and she's the new owner. And there are people who've been reading this magazine for 30 years. And they're noticing like, wait a minute, we're starting to really feel the absence of Tem because it has a new design and there's, you know, new features and there's all sorts of different content. And so we have this Saturnian institution of the longest running magazine in astrology, which if you don't know about it, you should know. And then there's this Uranus revision coming through, like all of 2021, we had a new graphic designer. We're looking for, you know, different images. And I'm, you know, thinking about other kinds of content that we can bring because in this Uranian way, Uranus represents kind of artificial insemination or in vitro fertilization or kind of spontaneous birth, right? And what does that also invoke but immortality? And when we publish, when you put things onto that kind of medium in print and ink, you achieve a certain kind of immortality. So when I'm doing publishing, I'm thinking in that Uranian way, and I have Uranus conjunct my midheaven. So I'm thinking like, how do we make this immortal? What are the conversations in our communities right now that need to become immortal? Mm. And I've heard you're working on a similar project and it is like become this crystal of, you know, this was this moment in time, but then it, you know, it interfaces with Saturn in this way. Cause it's also publishing is also a very traditional process. It's a very Saturnian institution, right? And so to mix that Saturn Uranus conversation It's been very real for me in my life. So I'm personally expecting some things to happen with the magazine, but you know, that's an example, hopefully that's precise, but relatable to things that might've been going on in other people's lives.
Right. So this kind of meeting of the old and the established and the structured with the new and the innovative and the sort of breakthrough ideas that are very different. And so there's a little bit of a clash between those things. And you could be experiencing this in your personal life. It could be, you know, old relationship versus new desires and new directions, or, you know, an old job that you've been at forever that you're just like, there's this stirring in you for something innovative and different. So it's this, I want to say clash because it's a square. So it's not always the most harmonious meeting of these things, but it forces change. Mm-hmm. Correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's also not anyone's fault really, because, you know, things just change and institutions get created and maintained until they change. And so with this cycle of Saturn and Uranus, it's time for those changes. I can imagine right now, a lot of people in their work life are facing, do we go back to the office now or do we continue remote work? And that's a really potent expression also of this Saturn Uranus transaction, because as the pandemic was shifting in 2021, there were all these like hopeful opportunities to get back to office life. And there are a lot of companies realizing we might not actually want office life, right?
But it's just so interesting. And I think one of the questions I've asked myself through 2021 and now with this Saturn Uranus coming back is like, what are the threads or the things that we can take from those structures and the old ways, but do them in new ways and in some cases just totally let them go. But in cases where they actually do have some value, like you just brought up the office, it's like being together in person, there's things that can happen in that environment that it's really, really hard to recreate virtually. And there's things you miss, right? So how could there be a combo of like, sometimes everybody's in the office, but sometimes it's remote. And how do we, you know, not throw the baby out with the bathwater in the creation of something totally new?
Right.
So I think this is an interesting exploration for all of us as we're coming back into that energy.
Yeah. Well, even directly speaking to what you just brought up, meeting you in person at ESAR in Denver a week ago was like, almost like for me, I was excited to meet you, but because I was about to become the facilitator for the Virgo month, I'm like, it's kind of like an office meeting too. Like if I were to go to like Astrology Hub HQ and be there, you know, as like, you know, an employee for the month, you know? And so these conferences, I think for at least the astrology world and the work we do as astrologers, they kind of are a little bit like our mini office.
Oof, maybe. Yes. Yes. And it, for me, it was like, God, how do I do more of that? Like you say, Astrology Hub headquarters. And that's what I walked away from that event going, how do I create a place where we can come together more often? Because it was so amazing.
I'm literally sitting in my attempt to do that at the library.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. Awesome.
I'm on that trail with you for sure. Then Wednesday we have another direct transit, a direct hit.
Yes.
Moon conjunct Uranus. So that is just like electric. Right? We just have this really potent, when the moon is conjoined Uranus, it's going to be in the middle of the afternoon. And I think last time it was conjunct Uranus, the Supreme Court overturned the decision of Roe versus Wade. And so I was like, watch out for that Friday. It's going to be pretty intense. And so I don't know if that's going to be I mean, I'm not sure you could even begin to like replicate that decision, but I do think that there's going to be that sort of like lightning bolt energy at our fingertips. So you can use it to your max effect. But the thing about that is when the moon's conjunct Uranus, 2 hours later, it's going to square Saturn. So it puts into relief this whole closing in of these two forces, right? So I think whatever we have on our sort of focus for the Saturn Uranus conversation we just had, the moon is basically just going to be like, okay, here's the red button and I'm going to push it. And you're like, don't push the button. And the moon's like, I'm pushing the button. I'm a Taurus moon. You can't stop me. Right. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out in the middle of the day on Wednesday.
Oh, wow. Okay. So we have two really big things happening on Wednesday. I'm glad we took a little time to talk about Saturn Uranus and what that energy is like. I know that'll be the backdrop for the next couple months, right? Yeah. But then we have this moon conjunct Uranus too, which is another one of this like jolting change kind of energies happening in the same day.
And I think too, it's again, that Uranus question of, you know, what truly belongs to you? You know, I'm always going to go back to that with Uranus, because especially when it's near the moon, it's kind of like saying authenticity. And if you're holding on to something that's not yours, or that's outworn, or that's not really like belonging to this moment, Uranus is going to find a way to get your hand to let it go. And if you don't, that's when we get a bit, that's when things get a little problematic, because if we can lean into that, like, what is mine? What's not mine? What's authentic? What's not authentic? Then we can step into a liberation that is ultimately what Uranus wants. It's for the freedom, you know? Freedom for your vibe, for lack of a better word. Thursday, we have a void moon. And I think the most important aspect on Thursday is when the moon is trining Pluto at the end of Taurus. And it's going to set the tone, because it's the last aspect that it makes before it goes void. But it voids at 5:59 a.m. in the Pacific, which would be 8:59 a.m. in New York City. So we're looking at a lot of non-action. And here's the trick with that. And I know that's going to be September 15th. So a lot of people pay quarterly taxes or like put things, you know, into motion for that. The void moon is not a red flag if what you want to have happen should have no result. So if you're trying to do something like entertain, of course you want to have something entertaining take place on a void moon, because everyone who's there is going to be having a great time, not thinking about some action item and not wanting to finish that conversation with you because they've got to do this and this when they're done with it, right? There's like a lack of a transactional quality to a void moon. So it's actually a time to say, at the end of this action, whatever I'm taking under my wing until midday, right? It's a long stretch of time. It's about 6 hours, I would say. And that's the main part of the workday, right? You can sort of say, okay, like I have to send out that thing and I don't really want there to be a response about it. So I'm going to do it at that point, because then people will, they'll know about it. They'll be notified, but it's not going to stir up anything, right? Or if you were to like say, like, finally merit the check for your quarterly taxes, that's fine, right? Like they're not going to like trigger an audit, for example, right? So this is a type, I mean, that's just, don't take my financial advice. I'm just saying when you have a void moon, it typically goes under the radar because there's no action until the moon enters the next sign. Caveat being, there are three different definitions of a void moon, and I'm using the modern one, which is the last aspect to the moon before it changes sign. I think if we get into more other teachings inside of the IC, we can go into what those other ones are. But I just want to flag, like, whenever I see a technique, they're like, well, actually, there's another way to define that. And I'm like, okay, I'm using the one that says the last aspect to the moon is a trine to Pluto in the morning, which is going to set the tone for a long stretch of time where we're kind of like, chill. Yeah, again, it's like Tuesday. It's like, okay, well, I don't really have any energy to get something done right now. And then once you get the moon in Gemini in the middle of the day, then we can start the clock ticking again.
Jen, I've never heard that definition of void moon before, that it's something that you don't want necessarily to have a result, like the actions, you don't want them to result in anything.
Yeah.
Would you say that that feels Neptunian again, like as we're back in there talking about Neptune, it feels like kind of that floaty, just imagination. It's not necessarily with any agenda or any like desired outcome. And potentially it feels a little Venusian in a way too, because it's like, just like maybe enjoyment for the sake of enjoyment. There's no, like, no agenda.
It's an anti-capitalist moment. It would be honestly like sharing with your friends, sharing with your special sweetie, you know, just being in a meditative state. There's no plan. It's like tuning into the now, the eternal now, and not really worrying about what's next until that moon hits Gemini. And then it's going to be like, oh, squirrel. Yeah. Well, yeah, let's do all the things. Oh my God. Especially because then we have square energy coming in with this, you know, oncoming day. So I think Thursday is really about just being chill through the most of the workday, and also not expecting anyone you work with to be getting things done, right? Mm-hmm. Like, please relieve yourself and others of that expectation. It's just another time for you to tune into the, okay, I really actually just, I like being at my console, whether it's a desk or your home or whatever. And like, okay, I'm going to sort of float a bit before I have to like return my attention to the task.
It also is might be a good idea if you do have a deadline of Thursday for something that you get it done Wednesday, right?
Yes. Actually, yes. Yeah. Or on Thursday at the end of the day and not in the middle of the day, right? Like don't put yourself under any pressure, at least in the Pacific, to get it done before 1:16 p.m., which is when the moon goes into Gemini. That's 4:16 p.m. on the East Coast. So yeah, you East Coasters definitely want to get it done on Wednesday.
It reminds me of a word that Alison Armstrong, that's one of the women that I've done a bunch of cool courses with. She calls it puttering. And especially women often need puttering time, which is just like, we're just sort of like, oh, maybe I'll do this and then I'll do that. And then I'll just like see what else like gets me excited to explore. And there's zero like focus. It's just really, you know, whatever you feel like.
Yeah. No, I mean, Thursday would be a great day to take that PTO and go have a nice martini lunch with a buddy, right? Like, you know, like moon's still in Taurus, right? It's all about that gourmet life. So if you have just like, you know, a social brunch that's been waiting and you're like, time to play hooky today, like that would be a good time to do it.
Okay. Awesome.
Friday is filled with spice. We have a Venus in Virgo squaring Mars in Gemini. And when we drill down to the part of the zodiac this is happening, it's at 14 Virgo and 14 Gemini. When you look at the astrology of this degree of the zodiac in both signs, it's in what's called the terms of Venus. And I like to point that out because Mars is in Gemini barreling down on the Venus in Virgo, and it's coming at this what's called superior square. And so this idea that Mars has an advantage is undercut by Mars being in a little part of the zodiac that is actually in the terms of Venus. It sounds like exactly what it means, right? It means exactly like it sounds. Mercury's retrograde. So it's like on Venus's terms, she's actually in charge in her own degree at 14 Virgo and in Mars's degree at 14 Gemini. So I think what's going to happen on Friday is a very interesting tension between something that wants to be efficient and pleasant and elegant, and then this Mars in Gemini energy that's a big story for the rest of the year, that really wants to explore and attempt to try things, which kind of ultimately creates messes that Venus and Virgo doesn't want to clean up. So there's going to be a lot of tension there. And I think that it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. And anytime you have Venus and Mars in a hard aspect, relationships can be very like flirtatious in that same way that you need distance to create attraction. So Friday is a really potent time for all of that.
Okay. So that kind of tension that like when you miss someone or you're longing for someone, so that sort of,
or if you're swiping left and right, I mean, this is a time to actually maybe go on that first date and see how it plays out, because there's going to be an interesting push pull between the attraction on both sides.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah. And that's for individuals who are on, you know, on the pursuit of achieving partnership, of any kind. And it'd be cool to see actually what would happen with Mars in Gemini and Venus in Virgo, if that's like a polycule date on Friday, right? Like seeing all the, a polycule, polyamorous. That's a group of more than one people in relationship, right?
Okay. Like seeing that's their polycule.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm like totally dating myself, or like, that's hilarious.
Yeah. I always like to make sure that I'm not speaking about relationship astrology in terms of heteronormative things, because I think it's important to appreciate that there are polycules out there that have, you know, anchor partners and multiple satellite partners and all kinds of like interesting configurations of people. And Mars and Gemini kind of speaks, I think, to a little bit of that, like group politics as well. So, but it doesn't have to be that also. I just think that any human relating to an other or others together are going to have an interesting push pull on Friday. And if it's in the context of romance, then it could be quite exciting.
Nice. All right. Yeah. So the weekend then.
The weekend, well, we're not done on Friday because the sun opposes Neptune. Now the sun opposes Neptune just after this Venus Mars situation, and it does so every year. So this is not a fresh thing. Every Virgo season, we get this sun opposite Neptune. And it's been that way for the last, you know, probably, I don't know, ever that I can think of right now astrologically. But the Neptune's in the middle of, I think it's in the middle of Pisces at 22, I believe. 24 Pisces. Yeah. So this is the annual face-off of the sun with Neptune. And what that evokes here is, I think, again, calling forth the filmic, calling forth the imagination, reminding us of what we've done, what we haven't done, what we want to do, what we don't want anymore, what we long for, what we yearn for, what we're grieving, right? There's all these ways in which that Neptune sort of reality is being highlighted by the sun's opposition to it. And so I think, you know, for me, navigating this energy is like saying, okay, I have a chance now to focus on the screenplay of my life. I have a chance to see the footage I've got so far. Maybe there's a scene that I long for, but it's not going to make the final cut, because if I go down that avenue, it's going to generate too much longing for that missed connection, right? And, or I really see this place I'd love to go, I've never been before, and I'm going to start making plans to get there because I need to have that part of the story, and it's time coming forward, right? So the sun opposite Neptune on Friday happens at 3:20 p.m. in the Western United States, so 6:20 p.m. in the Eastern United States, and then you guys can calculate from there. And I think it could be really fun with all of the energies of Friday to make a movie night with your friends or your sweetie or whoever, or even your family, and just kind of like say like, hey, what do we want to imagine? Let's like lose ourselves a little bit and get into someone else's imagination of what's possible. And it doesn't have to be fiction. It can also be documentaries. Like, you know, we can't necessarily travel yet, or it's not going to be feasible because school just started, but let's go to that Kathmandu documentary and look the, you know, this place. So I think it's, I'm going to recommend that Friday night's a movie night for everybody.
Love it.
Just to make it literal in Virgo, right?
Yes, I love it. I love it. And yeah. I like your suggestion to carefully select the movie, because you know you're going to be entering into somebody else's imagination. So enter into an imaginal realm that you would like to be in, and that could maybe help inform the rest of your personal movie. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe they're like, oh, wow, you know what? I actually do want to see the footage of that place, because it'll help inform what I'm going to do next with that, or like remind me of this thing that might be in terms of that gap spotting we've been speaking about. On Saturday, we have the moon makes a contact to Saturn, but now it's a trine. And so this trine is, you know, kind of whenever Saturn's involved, even if it's by trine with the moon, it is kind of a reality check. And Saturn is on deck for Saturday. Like, magically speaking, if we're going to take a bit of astrological magic, the fact that the moon makes a trine to Saturn at the beginning of his day is really kind of bringing home that sense of like, okay, last night was fun, now we got to clean up, you know, or like, you know, we got to do some of our chores so that, because, you know, the work week is finished and it's time to kind of get a little bit like on top of it. Now, the moon will be in Gemini though, and so that's a little bit of a squirrel energy. And I kind of, you know, it's like there's a lot of little things that need attention. And so hopefully that contact with Saturn will allow us to make those sort of like, okay, pick this up, put it away, tidy this, get that done. And that's, you know, not exactly the most fun way to start the weekend, but I think it's a good thing to like harness that sort of like, you're doing it for yourself. You're doing it so your space is nice. And, you know, with the moon being in Gemini, you can make a game of it. I'm thinking of Mary Poppins, right? Like, turn that nursery cleanup into a game, and, you know, maybe even watch that scene on YouTube while you do it. And like, you know, it makes the work light. And then we get the quarter moon, the waning quarter moon with moon at 24 Gemini, squaring the sun at 24 Virgo. So it's kind of like, you know, here we have like a little bit of that like wrapping up energy from this entire lunation. And it's time to kind of share, disseminate. If we're talking Dane Rudyard, right? We're sharing and disseminating all of the things that we might have come across. Maybe it's calling a friend and gabbing about this sort of like, yeah, you know, I've been doing my homework with Weekly Weather, and I just have to say, like, here are the gaps that I've spotted, and I've got to just tell you. Because that chatty moon is going to be like, blah, blah, blah. So it's like that sharing of some of the results of what's happened. And yeah, the moon will have also picked up on some of that Neptune square as well, because of the contact between the sun and Neptune. So it's right in the middle there, like as a T square between the sun Neptune opposition, which brings some of our movie stuff back to the fore.
Amazing. Okay. So productive and chatty is what I'm getting for Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah. I just say, like, if you have like plans, like take a walk with that buddy and have that conversation. Just definitely like share your ideas and make it something that you lean into, you know, don't bottle it up.
Nice.
So on Sunday, speaking of not bottling it up, we have the second pass of Mercury opposing Jupiter in Aries. So retrograde Mercury in Libra will be opposing Jupiter at four Libra, four Aries. This is going to be a revision, right? Mercury's retrograde now. So they already had contact on September 2nd. And when we see Mercury in Libra is that thing we had touched on before of playing devil's advocate, turning things over and over and over. And Jupiter in Aries is like blasting this big vision, not really thinking about the consequences of the vision, not really thinking about maybe how it affects other people. It's just kind of saying like, bah, I'm Jupiter. This is great, right? Here we go. And full speed ahead. And Mercury's like, wait a minute. I need to see your footnote for that. And what about if we put in this idea? And he's like, I'm a fire Jupiter. I'm not interested in having to note things down. And Mercury's like, but we have to communicate with the others. So I think of it as a little bit of a tall tale situation. And Mercury's doing that fact checking and nipping it a little bit and kind of bringing it back down to earth. And this is the second pass, meaning that on October 12th, Mercury and Jupiter will have their third and final pass. So this is kind of the thick of it, of this contact between Mercury opposing Jupiter for this season. And I think this is where we're going to see a lot of the sort of facing reality to resolve what gets discovered on Sunday.
So are you saying that there is a big picture vision that we're sort of culminating or ruminating on a little bit? Like there's a big picture vision, and that this energy is going to come in with that, like, have you thought of this? And what about that? And help us to refine it. And eventually with the third pass of this transit, it would be so that it's actually something that is doable and realistic. Is that like a trajectory kind of this, these three passes?
Potentially. I think what Mercury retrograde can also produce is one of those classic Mercury retrograde issues, which is, oh, we don't have that contract in place, or this clause is wrong, or that's not zoned properly, or this regulation prevents you from the Jupiter and Aries enthusiasm and the expression of that. And then it takes a couple weeks to figure out, how can we revise the language? How can we update the zoning? How can we get these like sort of more procedural elements in place? Because one of the things that we have with law, for example, and like contract law or zoning law, is that we live in a world with other people. And so, you know, when something's zoned commercial versus residential, to keep it like surface level, there's a reason why. So you can't just put, you know, a nightclub in the middle of a residential neighborhood, you know? So it's like that Jupiter and Aries vision might just not apply to the circumstances. And this is when Mercury comes by with the receipts and says, but you have to modify that. And Jupiter's like, oh man, I just want to do my thing, you know? So I think it's going to require, like, it's actually going to kind of cough up, I think, some of the work of what this Mercury retrograde is bringing us.
Got it. Okay. So the content, more of the content and the work of this Mercury retrograde.
Yeah. And by the time it's direct again on the 12th of October, and it makes that last pass with Jupiter, then I think we're going to see some forward movement on an ultimate compromise between the sort of self-directed like Aries Jupiter vision and the Mercury in Libra going, yeah, but there are other people. So let's, you know, package it in a way that can actually be doable, that won't, you know, disturb everything. And then that will see its forward movement in October.
Okay. So are we ready for the summary for the week?
No, because I just want to highlight also that on Sunday, the moon is in Cancer. And that is just a cozy, lovely thing to have happen in the midst of the background of this Mercury Jupiter story. I think it's good to just kind of like say, okay, cool. The early morning on Sunday, the moon goes into Cancer. So it is a cozy Sunday, other than the Jupiter opposing Mercury.
Love that. Cozy Sunday is good.
Yes.
Yes. All right. So we have this overarching theme of playing with illusion and editing the movie of our life, making the extended director's cut, or deciding what's going to be turned into a short reel. Also this opportunity to look at what's missing. What are you longing for? Where are there gaps in the story? Where are there like ideas or stories that you'd like to develop more fully? So there's this whole idea of this film. And I think this is just such a fun thing to be exploring all week long. Okay. And then, so we're kicking off the week on Monday with this Sun Saturn quincunx. And this is like a grind or a course correction. There's this fire under our belly and this idea of like, what are our responsibilities? That's also combined with Moon square Pluto. So this is kind of prickly. You said that the people might be intense and prickly, and that you're going to be the one that's aware of, I love how you called it, the star weather. And so you can be the one to say, okay, like, let's take a breath. Let's chill out a little bit. We don't have to like be at each other's throats. It's just kind of the energy. And let's just take a pause. On Tuesday, we have the moon in Taurus. You gave us all those yummy words. You said rest, eat, roots, pausing. Again, so this is just an opportunity for you to take a breath and relax in the most deepest sense of that word, if you're able to do that. And if you're not able to do it the full day, then just take moments, at least in acknowledgement of that moon in Taurus. On Wednesday, we have this Saturn-Uranus square, this background hum that we've been dealing with since 2021, coming into a degree of each other. So they're not going to be exact, but they're coming into a degree of each other. So it's bringing up these themes of this old versus new, the established versus the innovative. And those kinds of things are going to be coming up. Don't be surprised if some of the things from 2021 that you thought were kind of done come back again. And we have the vantage point now of having experience, at least. And we've had a lot of time to really integrate some of the things that we have learned and been exposed to in 2021. So this could be an opportunity for a different perspective on the same issue that you might have been going through. We also have the moon conjunct Uranus. So you're saying that Uranus, when we're holding on to something really tightly that isn't in alignment with who we are or where we're going, or isn't truly authentic to who we are, that Uranus comes in to loosen that grip and sort of force the change that we may be having a really hard time making. So that should be interesting in the different ways that it could turn up in everybody's lives on Wednesday. On Thursday, you said that this is the main part of Thursday is this void moon. This is a non-action kind of day that another opportunity. So Tuesday and Thursday look like they're pretty chill, like we're being invited to chill. And if you want anything to get done that has an outcome, don't do it during this time. But if you're okay with just doing things to do things and having no agenda, then this is the perfect time to do those things. On Friday, you said it's filled with spice. I like this. We have this tension between efficiency and elegance and exploration, which could lead to some chaos. So there's this like tension between these two energies. And this is a good flirtatious energy. This could be a good dating energy. Lots of fun things there. And you also said that this filmic quality is going to be coming forward again. So imagination, longing, yearning, grieving, you know, all these sort of emotions that a film might be able to elicit, contemplating those emotions in your own life. And also, where would you like things to go? And you said to have a movie night on Friday, which is super fun. On Saturday, we have the moon trine Saturn. This is the kind of that like last night was fun, now we have to clean up energy and wrapping it up. And you said this, we're also in this sharing and dissemination phase from this whole lunar cycle. This is the time where we're starting to share and disseminate, talk through things with friends. And then Sunday, we have Mercury opposing Jupiter in Aries. So our big visions are getting nitpicked. And there's like, hey, but what about this part of it? And what about this? And you didn't think of this, and this was left out. So just anticipating that kind of energy. And I always like to acknowledge that there's a purpose in that, even though it can be frustrating and annoying and can slow things up. It, in the long run, is going to make sure that your big vision is actually, you know, doable. And it has longevity and it has sustainability because all these things are taken care of. And you also said that it's going to be cozy on Sunday. Is there anything you want to add?
The only thing I would add for Friday is the filmic qualities of the day later in the day come from Sun opposing Neptune. So just to anchor that in the astrology language, that Neptune energy is being pointed at by the sun. And that's what makes it such a potent time for those Neptunian.
So great. Okay. A few things to let you know about. One opportunity with Jen that is coming up in October. Jen is going to be teaching a workshop for all of us called Practical Astrological Magic. This is going to be so much fun. Really looking forward to it. Enrollment is not yet open, but you can go to astrologyhub.com/magic and get on the wait list, and then you'll be the first to know when that is open. We also have another workshop that is open right now, and that's your astrological initiation with the legendary Richard Tarnas and his equally amazing daughter, Becca. And they are teaching that next week, September 21st. And this is perfect for any of you who really want to find ways to bring the mystery of astrology into your daily life in a more grounded way. And also for those of you who find yourself as the astrological ambassadors for your family, for your friends, maybe you are a practicing astrologer and you're actually doing readings. But one of the reasons why Richard and Becca were so excited to teach this class is because they wanted to give you a framework or a perspective to ensure that you're using astrology in a way that results in positive outcomes and minimizes any potential for harm. So I think probably all of us have been exposed to stories or even direct experiences of times when astrology was presented in a way that was harmful. And there's a way to do this, and there's a frame to hold that really has that sensitivity to ethical considerations, but also just human considerations that sometimes in our enthusiasm of sharing astrology, we can sometimes lose sight of. So we're very, very honored and excited to be hosting this class for Richard and Becca. Enrollment is open for this one, and you can go to astrologyhub.com/initiation to join this class now. And Jen, I know that you published Becca's book. Do you want to tell us a little bit about Becca's work and your experience working with her?
Yeah, I'd love to. Becca published her first book about Tolkien, and it's coming from her PhD research just after she finished her PhD. She had guided people through Tolkien's universe in this very small book after a course that she had taught for the Neuro Learning Network. And I love that she brings in her own mix of attention to the fictional and also the psychological through Jung, and then all of the work with astrology. And she's really paving a way for her own intervention into like how we apprehend astrological archetype. And so I love that you're having both Rick and Becca together in a dynamic combo, because she's bringing a lot of amazing things to the table in her work. And so it was an honor to work with her as a publisher, and I'm very excited to see where she goes next. So
same. Yes. It was awesome, because I had both Rick and Becca will be on the podcast this week. You're going to love this episode, you guys. It's so, so good about ways to actually directly experience the astrological archetypes. That's coming out on Wednesday. But Rick said that in a lot of circles, he's referred to as Becca Tarnas's father. It's not always Richard Tarnas's daughter, Becca. So they definitely both are establishing themselves as authorities in the field, and they bring such beautiful perspectives, and they're so excited to teach together, which I find just so heartwarming. They're excited as a father and a daughter to have this opportunity to co-teach and share with all of you. So again, check that out, astrologyhub.com/initiation. We'd love to have you. Now's the time to enroll. There's some great bonus gifts that you get when you enroll for this class, and I think you're going to love it for sure. Jen, you have been amazing as always. Thank you so much. I love your ability to teach as you illuminate us about the weather. Like I feel like every single time I learn so much about astrology just by going through the astrological transits with you. You're always like sprinkling in teachings. So thank you for that. And we'll look forward to your workshop next month. Inner Circle members get to enjoy you in the Inner Circle for another week and a half or so. So thank you for just being so present here on this platform. We're really excited about the work that we get to do with you. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, everybody, thank you so much for tuning into this episode. Thank you for being a part of our community. And as always, Thank you for making astrology a part of your life. We'll see you on Wednesday for the Becca Tarnas episode. And I can't wait to see you next week for the weekly weather. Take care, everybody.
This podcast is presented by Astrology Hub. You can learn more and find all of our shows at astrologyhub.com/podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please rate, review, and hit subscribe on your favorite podcast platform so you can stay up to date on the latest episodes and help more people find the wisdom of astrology. Thank you for taking the time to do this now. Thank you for being a part of our community and for making astrology a part of your life.